From the Horowitz Theater in Edmonton, one of the most thoughtful and artistic cities in Canada, because our pro sports teams never make the playoffs, so we have lots of spare time on our hands to paint and read and philosophize. It's the Irrelevant Show!
Hello, this is the audio instruction manual for your brand new state-of-the-art iPhone 9. To begin using your new iPhone, just follow these simple instructions. Step 1. Press and hold the power button until the screen displays an Apple logo. Step 2. Identify your language of choice and log in to your iTunes account. Step 3. Coordinate your new iPhone to your iCloud, PhotoStream, and Mail apps. Step 4. Take your iPhone 9 and throw it in the garbage. The iPhone 10 has just made your iPhone 9 obsolete. Step 5. Go to the Apple Store and buy your brand new state-of-the-art iPhone 10. Step 6. Repeat steps 1 through 5. Thank you and enjoy.
Hello? Mom? Dad, are you guys okay?
All right, I'm coming. Pause it, Donald, pause it! Oh, hi, Jeff. How are you? Come on in.
Oh, hey, Mom. Okay, where are you going?
I'm going to pass the Corolla.
You do it, Donald. You show that Corolla who's boss.
That'll teach you to ride my bumper, idiot.
Come on through, dear. Here we are.
Wait a minute. What's this?
Hey there, son. I'm playing the video games.
What?
Jeffrey, we're gamers now. Your father just owned Lloyd Helmsworth.
Wait, what are you guys playing?
It's the new real-time driving game. We're playing Edmonton to Saskatoon.
Yeah, yesterday we made the drive in 5 hours, 15 minutes.
Wait, to drive from Edmonton to...
It's very realistic. All our friends are playing. Lloyd's driving the Accord, and your Aunt Eva's in the Pontiac.
Oh! You should have been here 2 hours ago. Your mother got extra points for talking to the cashier at the gas station for 10 minutes straight while she searched her Bitcoin account for exact change. It's terrific.
Wait, so the game is the drive you make all the time to Saskatoon?
Oh, it's virtual. It's the best.
Oh, I'm not sure about that. I'm getting into a new game. It's a first-person knitter. You use the joysticks just like real needles. It's all the fun of knitting without actually making anything.
Right, so it's just like sitting here by yourself knitting.
Of course not. It's a multiplayer online knitting bee. I'm making a baby blanket with women from all over the world.
But for whom?
A virtual pregnant lady, obviously.
Yeah, I love the Wii fishing. You just hold the control stick like so, and then nothing happens. It's exactly like real fishing.
Hi, Mom. Hello, Dad.
What? Wait, who the hell is that?
Oh.
It's you.
Well, it's the virtual you we hope you'd turn out to be. By the way, your name is David now.
David?
We always regretted calling you Jeff. We don't know any Jeffs who are nice people.
Yeah, David is a doctor and he's married to Debbie, your first girlfriend, the one we liked best.
Hey, Mom and Dad. Fun warning, the buffet is about to open.
Okay, listen, I need to talk to you about something really important.
Oh, we can't chat right now. It's almost time for Grand Theft Buffet. Yesterday, your mother went wild. She snuck some extra shrimp into her purse.
Oh, you're one to talk, Donald. Mr. Eight-Hall is prime rib while in line.
Oh, that's it, Ellen. You and me, we're going to settle this with a virtual mall walk. First one to Army and Navy buys online tea.
the rage haikus of Niall Sagan. Part one, social media.
Sad post on Facebook. Don't want to talk about it? Then buy a journal.
You have a pet cat. He has a Facebook account. Maybe try dating.
Way too much info. You should go see your doctor and get off Facebook.
The rage haikus of Niall Sagan. Social media.
Full cap to Chuckner, and here's the pitch from Angus Wood. And he got caught looking.
That's a third strike out of the game for Billy Chuckner. Now he takes the walk of shame back to the dugout after a rough day at the plate.
Oh, and he's just thrown his helmet at the clubhouse door.
No, he is not a happy customer.
He's really taking it out on that Gatorade cooler. Oh, and there go the bats.
Oh, yes, he is really hot after that strikeout.
Oh. And I'm just getting word that Billy Chuckner joins us right now on headset. Billy, what's going on down there?
Hi, thanks for having me on the show, guys. It's always great to talk to you.
So, Bill, what set you off down there? Did the catcher say something to you, or did you just think that pitch was outside?
Oh, no, the pitch was a strike, wicked curveball. He really got me.
Yeah, but Bill, you were clearly steaming there. What got you so upset?
I wasn't upset at all. I was just, you know, throwing a tantrum, as you do.
Billy, what's that in your hands there?
After a good tantrum, I like to unwind with some sleepy time tea. This is chamomile. It's lovely.
So you're not angry?
Bill, mere moments ago, a national television audience just saw you throwing a gigantic tantrum. You basically smashed everything you could get your hands on.
Oh, my tantrum. No. I was throwing a tantrum in a baseball dugout. It's what they're designed for.
Bill, what do you mean by that?
Well, think about it. It's all part of the design. The bats are delicately balanced. There's little paper cups full of water. The Gatorade coolers are set up precariously on little wooden tables. It's all very feng shui.
So you're telling me dugouts are specifically designed for tantrums?
Well, that's exactly what I'm saying. Look, have you guys ever walked past a punching bag?
Well, sure.
Of course.
And what do you do?
I give it a little punch.
You give it a little punch. Maybe you give it a couple.
I might have given it a couple of punches. It felt pretty good.
Exactly. Plus, tantrums are a great way to get exercise. It's almost the only time I get my heart rate up all game. Baseball players are not fit. Want to know what my resting heart rate is? It's whatever it is while I'm playing baseball. But guys, if I can get political for a second here, dugouts shouldn't go to waste. I feel today's youth take for granted a lot of the resources that are available to them, so I'm trying to set a good example for the adults of tomorrow by not letting a single dugout tantrum go to waste.
Well, that's some insightful stuff.
Well, thanks for joining us, Billy. You keep up the good work down there.
Oh, yeah, no problem. Namaste, guys.
You're listening listening to The Irrelevant Show on CBC Radio 1 and Sirius XM, coming to you today from the Horowitz Theatre at the University of Alberta in Edmonton. For free podcasts of The Irrelevant Show, either individual sketches or whole episodes, go to iTunes or our website, cbc.ca/irrelevantshow. And if you have a comment about the show, we'd love to hear from you. Send us an email. Our address is irrelevant@cbc.ca.
Today's episode of The Irrelevant Show is brought to you by Wet Dog Smell. Wet Dog Smell, defeating new car smell for over 150 years.
And now, please welcome today's musical guests, Jocelyn Ulf and Jan Randall.
I'm so excited to be here tonight to do something I've always wanted to do, and that is to sing a song about my hometown of Edson, Alberta. I'm going to do it in a style of one of my favorite singers ever.
Out past the Smitties on Highway 16, beyond the campsites at Wilmore, some nights in the muskeg you can still hear her cry and her lonely ATVs roar. She was a lass of Edson, Foothills town of oil and coal. She went to Parkland Composite High. He went to Holy Redeemer. He went to Holy Redeemer. They met one day at Vision Park at the big slow pitch tournament. He said, "Hey, I'm Jason." She said, "I know." And her heart, it flamed like the sun. Her heart, it flamed like the sun. They drank rye at the water tower. He stroked her flowing red hair. His eyes were dark and brown like a squirrel, and she saw intelligence there. They made out at the totem poles, held hands at A and W. He looked in her eyes and pledged his true love by the Smitties at the foot of the hill. By the Smitties at the foot of the hill. She'd watch him play hockey, he'd skate like the wind. Her friends would say, "You're so lucky." They'd hang at her house and play with her dog, or jump on the trampoline, or jump on the trampoline. One day from the west came a telephone call, the call that would tear her dreams down. He was off to play junior with the Grand Prairie Storm, and he said he would see her around. She was sure that she saw his black 4x4, but it was someone else's black 4x4. She thought she saw him at Mountain Pizza. She said, "Wait," but he was out through the door. She sent him a text, made call after call. His friend said he might be at Pinedale Hall. So she jumped on her red ATV and took off. She disappeared into the night. She disappeared into the night. The Farshams and Tim Chucks all know her sad tale. The hints she speak of his cruelty. She's frozen in time like the caboose in the park. Like a diamond at Gelmickey's jewels. Like a diamond at Gelmickey's jewels. Out past the Smitties on Highway 16. Beyond the campsites at Wilmore. Some nights in the muskeg you can still hear her cry. And her lonely ATVs roar.
Bond, I've prepared a number of devices to assist you on the Geneva mission.
Ah, you're too good to make you.
Please, Bond, pay attention. The first is this pen.
I've already got a pen.
Not one that emits an electrical charge that can block any satellite signal.
Ah, a pen that's mightier than the sword, eh?
And then there's this bow tie. It releases a toxin that will make any tiger obey your commands.
Yeah, it's oddly specific.
And this briefcase can expand to the size of a two-person luge.
Phew!
What is it, Bond?
How do you always know exactly what I'm going to need? Every time I go on a mission, I always use every single one of the things you give me. If you make lava-proof boots, I somehow end up in a volcano lair. How do you do it?
Oh, well, I supply the bad guys with their equipment first, and then I give you everything you'll need to counter it.
What?
It's the only way I make any real money. This government job pays next to nothing. The real money is in building nuclear bases on the moon and trapdoor shark tanks.
Well, how could you?
Well, you always win, don't you? You get everything you need to stop everything I make for them. I give one of their henchmen metal teeth, and then I give you magnetic dental floss to stop him. You didn't really think you were some sort of super spy, did you?
Well, I...
Oh, come on, Bond. How could you defeat a billionaire in an impregnable undersea fortress with just your tiny gun and a rented tuxedo? You're not that good.
I'm good at some things. Like cards.
I supply every casino you play in with trick decks. I mean, have you seen yourself play? You're terrible.
Well, I...
No, really. You're easily the worst card player I have ever seen. Think about it. Whenever the hand is really important, you always get a straight flush. If you knew anything about odds, you'd understand how ridiculous that is.
The ladies like me.
Oh, yes. Yes, they do. You've got me there. It's not like they're all robots.
What?
Nothing. Off you go. Have a good mission. Don't tell anyone what you've learned today or you'll be rebooted again. Goodbye.
But wait, Q, I... Yeah, at least my theme song plays whenever I do something cool.
That's your bloody ringtone. Answer your phone once in a while.
The Rage Haikus of Niall Sagan. Part 2, Public Behavior.
New couple on bus. Keep your tongues in your own mouths. Punches for your throats.
Guy in checkout line. 16 items or less, jerk. Punches for your throat.
You chat on your cell, but the movie has started. My pop in your hair. Also, punches for your throats.
The Rage Haikus of Niall Sagan. Punches for your throats.
Okay! Are you ready?
Sure am! Oh my God! I'm hooked to my buddy Greg, and we're going skydiving! This is going to happen!
Yep.
Hey, where's the cord I pull for the parachute?
I pull it, so it's on me! Are you ready?
You bet! Thanks for finally bringing me up here with you! Ooh, I'm ready, baby!
Okay! 1, 2, 3!
Toward the Earth from 12,000 feet in the air. This is amazing.
Yeah. It's okay.
I guess.
Just okay. This is incredible. Seriously, you're living the life, man.
Yeah, you'd think so, wouldn't you?
What? What do you mean?
I mean, what's the point?
What's the point? Like, what's the point of telling me?
No! I mean, like, what's the point of life? It doesn't mean anything!
Sure it does! Sure it does!
No! No, it doesn't! I mean, you live, you die. The end. All your life's experiences, lost forever. I mean, what difference does it make if it happens in another 40 years or, say, 2 minutes from now?
I think it matters a lot, Greg.
Did you know Linda and I are having problems?
No. What's going on?
Well, I didn't want to bring this up before because you were so excited about the jump, but... Well, we've been living apart for a couple of weeks now. That's why she wasn't around when you popped by last time.
But you said she was just out with the girls.
A pathetic excuse from a pathetic man.
Is it another guy?
Oh, no. Nothing as dramatic as that. Just bored, I guess. With me, with life, who knows?
Oh, that's terrible, Greg. Hey, is it getting about time to pull the parachute cord?
It's just, conversation dried up. We became more irritable around each other. Blah, 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 you know. I know I've definitely been harder to be around since my dog passed away.
Little Gussie? Oh, God, that's horrible. Hey, do you think you should pull the cord now? We're getting pretty close to the ground.
He was my best friend, man. My best friend! That dog understood me better than anyone! I don't know if I could go on without him!
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you'll find a way! Hey, maybe you should pull the cord now!
Without that little guy, I don't even know if I have the willpower to mow my own lawn!
Oh, I'll do it! I'll mow your lawn! Hey, just pull the cord!
Yeah, my lawn is one thing, but I just can't face all those dirty dishes!
I'll do the dishes, too! Just pull the cord!
For a full year?
Yeah, for a full year! For 2 years! Just pull the godforsaken cord! Pull the cord! Pull the cord! Pull the cord! Pull the cord! You pulled the cord! Oh, thank God, we're gonna be okay! We made it! We made it! I'm alive! I'm alive!
Hey, you're still doing my dishes and mowing my lawn, right?
I'm all over it. I'm gonna mow the hell out of that lawn! I'm alive! Oh my God, I'm alive! I'm alive!
Well, he's happy.
Oh, yeah, he's full of life. Hey, how was your jump?
Ah, pretty good. That guy there is gonna wash my car.
Oh, thank God, I'm alive! I'm alive! I'm alive!
You've been listening to The Irrelevant Show, starring
Kathy Durkach,
Neil Gron,
Mark Meir,
Jana O'Connor,
and me, Donovan Workin.
Live music by Jocelyn Ulf and our music maestro, Jan Randall. Live sound effects by Dave Clark, with special thanks to Eric Wagers. Sketches were written by Ian Boothby, James Hartnett, Peter Brown, Aaron Eves, Niall Sagan, Peter Carlone, Sam Mullins, and Chris Wilson, Donovan Workin, and head writer Neil Gron. The show is recorded by Corey Haberstock and edited by Ray Buxton. The Irrelevant Show was produced and directed by Peter Brown and recorded before a live audience at the Horowitz Theater at the University of Alberta in Edmonton!
in Edmonton and you've been wondering when The Irrelevant Show is going to record a show in the city in which you live, it's happening. We'll be at the Victoria School of the Arts in Edmonton, Saturday, April 11th, with an evening of all new sketches and songs. It's our last recording of the season, so we hope we'll see you there. For tickets and information, go to cbc.ca/irrelevantshow.